You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
There was a recent report that suggests that we saw about 81 billion rands worth of import duties that were paid by businesses bringing things into South Africa in the last financial year. And the surprising thing about that is that, according to this report that was put together, that 93% of that 81 billion rand, so just over 75 billion rands worth of that, is on tariffs that haven't had their codes looked at or changed in the last 20 years. Now, this obviously would raise a couple of concerns, and who better to address these concerns with than the International Trade and Administration Commission that is responsible for dealing with a lot of these tariffs. I'm joined on the line by ITAC's Chief Commissioner Ayabonga Tawe to take a look at this and try and understand what's going on here. Good evening, Commissioner. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's start with the tariff environment. I think there's a lot that's been going on in the space, certainly since the last time you and I have spoken. This report has come to light, and it's quite alarming, to say the least, that these numbers suggest that you are not doing enough to change some of the codes around that. Let's start by looking at tariffs. Yeah. Why do we have tariffs in place in the first place?
Well, thank you very much, Jimmy, as always, for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure catching up with you. And really, Jimmy, if we were to simplify it, tariffs are import taxes. They are the taxes that are levied on products and merchandise that we would bring into the country from outside of the country. And tariffs, depending on your own particular context, play different roles. In certain African countries, they play a very dominant role in revenue generation, because of the heavy import reliance of final household and firm level consumption in those countries. In other countries where you have a more diversified industrial base, they effectively play a more protective function, which is to be able to manage import competition on terms that at least give a favorable advantage to domestic industry. South Africa finds itself, I guess, in the middle of that. We don't generate a lot of revenue from tariffs, since certainly we liberalized our tariff schedule in the 1990s. But we also have a relatively industrialized base in our manufacturing. And this is the kind of industry in many instances that is the recipient of a protective measure of this kind. In some instances, the same duties for different reasons would then be used to deal with unfairly priced imports that compete with domestically produced goods. So that's really the function that these tariffs play. And I think it's an important question to ask, Jimmy, because it does seem in this report, which I must, to my concern, say was uncritically accepted and engaged by many in the financial media, that it seems we depart from different normative assumptions. The normative assumption in the report is that you liberalize your entire tariff. No one should pay an import duty. Yet in the same vein, the same report says more and more firms are beginning to want to use the import duty. And I would want to ask, why would they want to do so if the normative assumption is to not have any of these duties in place? I won't be engaged on the numbers, Jimmy, because I'm still also familiarizing myself, and so too is the team, with the report. But suffice to say that what we've seen in the past is a combination of unrealistic assumptions and what I would call computational gymnastics in arriving at what are the ostensibly the distributional costs of having the tariff schedule as it looks. And I think there's often the sense of wanting to freeze these things in time without giving them the historic, well, I guess the historic basis that would allow us to understand how these things change over time. And I think if you look at our tariff schedule now, it's probably much more liberalized than it has ever been in the history of this country. Tariffs on agricultural products much lower than they would have been historically, and similarly with some of the goods produced in secondary industry. So it's quite bizarre to kind of frame this point as one where importers have been unfairly paying duties on goods that ideally, as the normative assumption says, should not have a duty on them. And I think that kind of technicist logic is, in many ways tries to untether tariffs as policy instruments from the policy environment within which they're expected to operate.
Commissioner, when we look at that policy environment, the report suggests that there are certain tariffs, or at least 93% of the tariffs that, or the tariff codes that were looked at here, some 3,500 tariff codes, most of those codes have not been reviewed in the last 20 years. Now, from a tariff point of view, some tariffs are momentary, but some of them aren't momentary. Take me through using tariffs as a tool and as a mechanism from a country perspective to protect our own ecosystems, and the dangers behind just adjusting tariffs and constantly reviewing tariffs for sectors like the automotive sector that require consistency.
Yeah, well, definitely, Jimmy. I mean, you don't change it because your normative assumption says. You change it, and I think this is the problem that we have with a particular, you know, particularly dominant paradigm in economic thinking. You don't change tariffs as if you're changing your jacket. You know, you change tariffs through a process led by evidence, as ITAC would undertake, that balances a mix of these considerations and interests to arrive at a tariff that gives effective protection while also managing the diffuse costs associated with import taxes. And this view that, you know, you've got 3,000 tariff lines that haven't been reviewed is also similarly quite bizarre, because some of those tariffs, one would imagine, would be those that have been recently, certainly in the post-apartheid period, subjected to rebates. These would be, by the way, those where you find that you don't have adequate supply of a product. And we have this in many cases where, you know, a dominant lead firm will say, I can only produce this amount of chemical and all of it is for my own use in my own industrial process, and I don't have enough for other players. And in those cases, we have reviewed the functioning of a tariff sufficiently enough to introduce a rebate. And I think the report's lack of engagement with the fact that there's an entire rebate framework. By the way, since the global financial crisis, we've issued 70 rebate provisions. And I think part of the issue is to then kind of place at the core of ITAC a view that says there are certain areas that should not have tariffs on them, that still have tariffs because there's no review, when I think the question should be framed differently in line with the ITA Act, which is to say, if there are firms that have been harmed by that tariff and its existence, why have they not petitioned the International Trade Administration Commission to investigate and then ultimately make a recommendation to the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition? So it's there, Jimmy, where I think we have a normative misunderstanding that's carried through in the analysis and carried through in a lot of the coverage, when some of it really is patently unrealistic and some of the assumptions, to be fair, are otherworldly.
Commissioner, I want to look at the role of ITAC at the current juncture. We're at a very unique position in global trade and global economics, where you've got things like the Africa Free Trade Area Agreement in place, you've got the BRICS bloc in place, you've got an emergence of new industries like EVs and solar, and that's requiring new developments. Now, the whole point of ITAC, the whole existence behind your organization, is to protect the local economy and to ensure that it's a conducive economy for both trade and for local production. How do you now balance that in your role going forward, understanding that these new areas come with new learnings and new challenges?
Yes. No, indeed. I mean, and it's an important question you asked, Jimmy. Our task, yes, is to protect existing capabilities, but it's to do so in a way that also unlocks competitiveness enhancing investment in new capabilities. And if you look, for instance, at the new electric vehicles or battery electric vehicles or hybrids, you see part of the issue there is that tariffs are but one part or one instrument in a bigger orchestra of policy instruments that get you to a particular objective. In the case of the automotive sector, the objective is a technological transition from one platform to the next. And with it are associated shifts in products, components, and other kind of accessories used in vehicles that are not used in the current combustion vehicles. And so where our tariff book inordinately places a burden of adjustment on domestic component players and the OEMs who assemble vehicles, that's the kind of work ITAC is seizing, to look at that as part of a review, to allow people to participate, and in a transparent fashion at every stage of that investigation, to kind of share and dispatch to the public where that investigation is, what are we finding, and allow for a public discussion on this. This is not some kind of tyranny of the experts where we sit in a corner, but it's a public process that requires public consultation and engagement. And we are seized with that at the moment, as we are seized, by the way, with a review into the tariff structure for steel. You've seen, Jimmy, in this global subsidy race, in this context of friendshoring and increase in protectionism, the difficulties arising from structural overcapacity in the steel sector arising from China. And many countries have had to respond. Brazil, the EU, Chile, you know, the United States of America, and so too have we had to respond here in South Africa through trade defense measures and also through protective tariffs. So our work has to be agile, has to be responsive, but also I think our work has to deal with mischaracterization of that work in a very noisy, in a very kind of engaged, charged, and rhetoric and bluster-filled environment. And it's par for the course, but I think it's our obligation where we feel there are mischaracterizations that misinform the public for us to be able to respond.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, in addition to responding, keeping the door open for engagement, I think that's one of the things we love most about ITAC, and we'll leave the conversation there with the Chief Commissioner, Ayabonga Gqawe, from the International Trade and Administration Commission, responding to some of the suggestions from a new report that suggests that they haven't reviewed any of their tariffs or some of their tariffs in as much as 20 years, whilst having collected around 81 billion rand in import duties in the last financial year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.